London. That should be an interesting segment, so stay tuned for that. Right now, let's go to Bob. Hi, Bob. Thanks for your patience.
Yeah, good morning, Wayne.
Hi.
And good morning, Reverend Carson.
Good morning.
Reverend Carson, you stated in the first hour of the program, I believe you quoted Bernadette Devlin as having said something to the effect that she wishes to overthrow the capitalist system. Is that correct?
Yes, I would say that is her aim.
Well, what I find extremely surprising in a comment such as that is that anyone could consider Ireland to be capitalistic. It's a curious phenomenon that in today's world, capitalism has always been labeled and defined by its enemies. So one thing, like the previous caller seemed to have been getting at this point, I'd like to just outline some of the characteristics of capitalism.
Okay, can you do it in short and make sure we can all understand what the heck you're talking about?
No problem at all.
Okay.
So the main characteristic of capitalism is, first of all, that rights are based on individual rights, not collective rights of any sort. The second characteristic is that property rights are guaranteed. Under this type of a system, no minority group has to fear any majority. A capitalist system does not tolerate the use of force. And in a capitalist system, a state exists to protect individual rights and is non-interfering in all other respects. Now, unfortunately, common to both left and right-wing movements is the use of force. The previous caller brought up this strange situation where people are turning to things like Marxism and socialism because really, we countries who call ourselves capitalist are not capitalist at all. We are, in our frame of reference, we operate in a mixed economy where we take some of the good and some of the bad. And whenever you mix one system with the other, and in terms of reference of good and bad, the bad will always win out. So we've basically betrayed our own principles. We're not in a position to go over to Ireland and say, we can set an example for you, or we can say, give you a solution out of your problem.
Okay, let's go after some of these fundamentals of capitalism as you outline them to us. The first thing is, if I go to work at the Ford plant and I make a fender, who owns the fender?
Ford.
That's where the argument comes in, you see. Some people say, no, I as an individual...
When you go to the Ford plant, you are in a contractual arrangement with the Ford Motor Company where you are being paid for your labor at the end of your contractual relationship.
But if I bring in my own material and say to the Ford Motor Company, let me lease your facilities here to make the fender, then who owns the fender?
That is something you have to arrange with them.
Well, but you see, what I'm trying to get at here, Bob, is it's just not as clear-cut, black, white, right, wrong as you are giving us the impression it is.
Why isn't it?
Well, because you're talking about protracted ideological theory as opposed to pragmatic reality.
I agree, Wayne. We live in a world that practices pragmatism and doesn't live up to its ideals. We live for the moment. Whatever is right to get us from here to from today to tomorrow is the immediate...
In every single case, do you think that happens in our human existence?
Certainly in...
Every single case? They're...
Every single...
Oh, okay.
Individuals all react differently.
Okay.
Politically, yes. Politically, the expedient of the moment is always the reality.
Now, if I own a coal plant, this is going back to your number two point here on property rights, and I start burning coal and out into the atmosphere goes sulfuric acid, which brings acid rain down into other plants, then do I have the right to do that because I own the property on which the coal plant sits?
Not at all, because in a capitalist system, the property rights of whoever else that you are damaging would be formally instituted, and those people can take action. That action doesn't exist today.
And who owns the air, Bob, that I breathe?
Who owns the air that you breathe, you own. And if you can prove that the air that you breathe is creating some health hazard to you, and that has to be proven, not just... By making a blank statement without the statistics and proof behind it.
Mm-hmm.
Be proven, just like when you go to a court and someone's up for trial for murder or for whatever else, you have to have evidence, and the evidence has to be there.
Okay, let's let the Reverend have a cut chance in here, too. Go ahead.
Well, when I spoke of the South as a capitalist economy, I was speaking in popular terms.
Recognize
it. No, give him a chance to talk.
As I understand the basic... political approach of socialism of whatever shade is the nationalization of the means of production. And the simple fact is that in the south of Ireland, as in Britain, you have what you've termed a mixed economy, but probably in the south of Ireland it's much more capitalistic than in Britain, because there has not been the same degree of nationalization. What you get owned nationally are the utilities like the electricity, natural gas, the railways, which wouldn't exist if the government didn't run them, because they couldn't finance themselves. But certainly, from the point of view of practical politics, if you like, when those who, like Bernadette, talk about overthrowing the capitalist system, it is the system as it prevails. Now,
In common terms.
Yeah. I mean, it may not be the capitalist system as the ideological capitalist might view it, but they're not concerned with that. They're concerned with the fact that it is not a thoroughgoing socialist system.
Well, that's precisely my point, is that they aren't concerned with that. And those of us who believe in freedom and individual rights should be concerned with it.
Yeah, but you give me what I hear you say, Bob, is that because you say those of us, you give me the feeling that they don't believe in freedom and individual rights.
Well, they are running to the nearest ideological group that they feel can give them certain rights.
Right. Now you got to ask yourself, put yourself in their shoes, you see. Don't polarize.
I'm not quite sure what you mean by that when you say put. If I were in their shoes,
maybe you would do the same thing, possibly.
Absolutely. And that's because we aren't making distinctions anymore. Wayne, when so many times I've heard callers call into you and label someone or another as Marxist, and you run like the devil to defend the person that they're labeling and say...
Because I believe sometimes we label people indiscriminately, don't you think?
Exactly. And don't we use the word capitalism and freedom and individuality the same way? Why aren't you rushing to defend those ideals? Why do you rush to defend the ideals of socialism and the ideals of...
Well, you see, because I try to distinguish what you're trying to do is label me and put me in a corner and say I'm a screaming socialist or something.
That's what you do.
No, I'm not doing anything. I do nothing. It's your reaction to me, okay?
You put Reverend Carson on the spot when he originally labeled Bernadette Devlin as a Marxist.
Right, and one of the...
rejected the label. When I reject Bernadette Devlin's label to say that Ireland is a capitalist system.
All right, but the point is that I had never heard that said by her own mouth, right? Now, some people called up and said, oh, you're wrong. She did. And okay, fine, so I'll change my mind.
Okay, that's fine. But I'm not referring only to this instant. I know you've spoken to other callers who may have labeled someone or another as Marxist.
Mm-hmm.
But to get back to the problem strictly of Ireland, I see the problem as political, not religious.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I was speaking of collective rights versus individual rights. What happens in a case like that is they're using religion to define groups, okay? You have a group, you have the Catholics, and you have the Protestants. What happens then is a political interest take advantage of that situation. They can take this group and say, well, we're going to represent this group. No one's in there representing individual rights. If there was someone in there representing individual rights, that person should win people from both sides to his cause. Do you see the difference?
I understand what you mean. I'd like to hear Reverend Carson on that for a moment, then we'll have to run to other callers.
Well, of course, the average politician will always say he's interested in individual rights. And on both sides of the divide in Ireland, they will say precisely the same thing. They will say, indeed, again and again, we are not concerned simply with one side of the community. I was viewing simply the actual situation and the aims of those who are involved, and I think many of them are not really aware of all the niceties of the precise divisions within the socialist movement or the precise distinctions within the capitalist system. They simply view the Irish setup with a pure capitalism, with a mixed economy, but most assuredly not, in any sense of the imagination, a communist system, as something to be overthrown. And the IRA are committed not just to deal with the North. When they've dealt with the North, as they think they will, then they would deal with the South. And after all, they've done quite a lot of that in the South. The South of Ireland are have mobilized their army along the border. They've suffered a great deal more from massive bank raids than the North have. And it's good also to remember that some of the hunger strikers in the past died in the South. Nothing to do with the British government or the North either.
Okay.
I don't suggest that the problem only exists in one area in Ireland.
Okay, we're going to have to leave it there, Bob.
Could I just ask one question of Reverend Carson?
Can you go quickly, because I've got a lot of people waiting here.
Reverend Carson, you said that many of the people there do claim to represent individual rights of some sort. What do they mean by that?
Well, that is the kind of question you often have to ask a politician, because I'm afraid one of the troubles in so many political situations that the issues are muzzed by the kind of platitudes which are talked. And this is why one has to ask people to define their terms. And this is often the problem, to get them to define their terms.
That is exactly why I called today.
Thank you for your call. 433-3121 is the number. We have some messages.